March 19th budget workshop meet to order. Mr. Bronson, you have the floor.
All right. Mayor and council, welcome. Seems like it's been a while since we've been together as a group.
It does seem that way.
Kind of like bringing the band back together, everyone.
Band, Elwood?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll go through the, this is our part two of two of expenditure review. Slide right here, just as a reminder, we did part one in February, so in part two here, we'll do revenue review in April, and then we will have a special called meeting at the end of April, and which is where we will present to you the budget, first reading and public hearings in May, and then second reading in June. As we go, if you have any questions, please let me know. This is following the same format as the workshops we've done in the past. Just giving you a bird's eye view of what our budgets look like, excluding the large capital. I didn't put that in here because it kind of gets set and then it hangs around for a while and then it either moves up or down. But I left it out of here because I did not put it in here last year.
So we've got $47,000 in the Local Development Corporation this year?
That is how much is in the budget. When we started 2024, we have spent about 12 of that this year. We spent it at the last...
So we got 35?
That'd probably be about right.
All right.
I don't have a year-to-date expenditure report. Could be in your budget for that.
Yeah.
And we also do the... this year's allocation from PMPA, which went up from 16 and change up to 20,000. So we've not drawn that down. We will before we close this fiscal year. Y'all good with that one? All right, so pointing this out, the value of a mill, how much money we bring in per mill that we leverage. I showed you this last year. So last year, we did not have the 22-23 numbers. You can see we're going up at a steady rate each year, which is what we want to see. That's how we were able to reduce our tax millage last year. You might recall we went down from 99.3 mills down to 95.8. We'll talk about that millage value as we go. I think most of you know this, but you pay your property taxes in arrears. That means you pay it after you've lived through the year. So for 2023, you paid it at the end of the year for the year you just lived in. The end of 2024, we'll pay taxes for the year we just lived in. And there's often an 18-month lag from the time a new or improved property is either added to the tax rolls or that improvement actually begins to hit our millage. I'm expecting that $7,100 to keep going up. If you think about those houses over on Simpson Street that, oh, his name just left me. Mayor, right there behind your house.
Adam Harold Smith.
Knight. The Harold Knight houses.
Yeah.
Some of these other infill houses that we're seeing, all those will be on the property tax rolls for this year. They may not have shown in for 2023. They will show in for 2024. And, of course, you all know, you can see we've got improvements going on in a lot of homes around town and some infill housing. There's some three houses going up over on Dole Street. Of course, we have the property that's being cleared over here. Seems like we have another couple.
We've got one on Mimosa, one on the Dr. John's Road subdivision, and one on 123 before we get Dunlop.
So all those will start coming on. And there's the one next to Herb's house. Yeah, that's the one you were talking about.
Yep.
Those will start coming on. Like I said, usually has about an 18-month lag from when you see them get a certificate of occupancy to when we realize the tax revenue. So I'm expecting that number to keep rising. Interested to see how quick we get up to $8,000 per year. So couple of these slides I'm just going to walk through. I'm going to give you a chance to look at them. I don't have a whole lot to say. Just reporting back to you. The 2023 numbers that you're seeing are audited. The 2024 numbers are the budget amounts that we have in this current year's budget. think you all know that the bulk of our general fund budget comes from public safety. I didn't order the slides like I wanted to. I kept playing around, couldn't quite get it in the, couldn't get a vibe on which order. So forgive me if I don't, I'm not as fluent as I'd like to be. We have increased public safety pay quite a bit. Last year when we were looking at it, we had taken up some of the salaries as much as 27% over the last 2 years. Everything that you see up here now, after we did that big increase back in 2022, the numbers that are up here now reflect the 5% COLA that we applied across the board to all city employees that affected each of these positions and their pay bands. So I wanted you to be able to see this. Last year, we were still keeping pace with, particularly on police, we were keeping pace with most of the local agencies, Sheriff's Office, Seneca, Wahala. We're not keeping up with Clemson University or the Highway Patrol. They're getting their funding a little bit different way than we do. So we will keep evaluating that along with firefighter pay to make sure that we are competitive. Something to note to you right now, that except for the police chief full-time job, we are fully staffed in both police and fire. And we've not been fully staffed very long in my 3.5 years here. So I give Chief Pope and Chief Smith credit for what they have done. And Chief Smith has a number of officers that are firefighters that are also part-time. And you do part-time and then you do temporary? Or is it just
floaters?
Floaters, yeah. And he has been able to fill those slots as well. So lose ground on these salaries.
Yeah, any idea on how much the county's going to increase there this time?
Hadn't heard anything. I think it was Kylie. Reagan, I don't think it was you. I had Kylie checking around on some other numbers from some of our folks around the county. And was it you, Reagan?
It was Kylie.
And nobody wants to share their numbers. Everybody's kind of keeping a close pocket this year. And I imagine this is part of the reason why, because everybody wants to be as competitive as possible. But we will keep watching how they go in their budgets. And we'll talk more about the cost of living across the board here in a few minutes.
How many total police officers we have right now?
I have a slot in here. We have 9 slots, and you have 8 filled. And again, that's your chief spot. Well, you have Caitlin doing more or less her old job and the chief job, so when you fill that full-time, we'll be at full staff. So here's a few of the stats on your FTEs and on calls for service. You see, we had a little bump in calls for service in 23 inside the city. I mean, with our city officers, not inside the city. This is all inside the city, but with our city officers.
What's the difference in the county calls and the city calls? They all go through the county? Is it just when we don't have anybody on duty, or?
Yeah, when we do not have an officer on duty, those are the calls that are being picked up by the sheriff's office. Caitlin, how many hours a day are we not covered right now?
It's 3 hours. From? And then Saturday and Sunday, it is from 5 until 5. That makes it 5 in the morning to 5 in the
evening. 5 in the evening to 5 in the morning?
So they got 5 in the morning on Saturday morning. It's the sheriff's office until 5 in the evening.
Do we get a lot of calls during that time?
I haven't heard of many. They'll call me usually if it's something major.
These include traffic stops, right? Also, or is that just calls through 911?
That's calls for service.
It's through 911.
Okay. Or the 4111 number.
Okay.
What are the majority of them at 5? If we've got 6,800 calls in 2023, what's the majority of those calls?
A lot of them tend to be like 911 hang ups, so that somebody accidentally calls in. There are some that are simple, Assault and batteries are some of the ones between family members. A lot of juvenile calls in 23. Saw an increase of that. Runaways, just acting out at home, things of that nature.
That's a lot of calls.
So because we have been going through a vehicle replacement program, we've been methodical about choosing vehicles. Last year we started showing you the slide of the vehicles that we had with the mileage on it. Police has 4 new vehicles. I'll go ahead and talk about it right here. Right now, when we bought vehicles for this year, we've only been bringing in 2 new vehicles into the general fund. So we've dedicated both of those to police this year. And one was a police truck that Matt wanted as the chief's truck. And then one was a charger. Those are down at the bottom. With Matt leaving, there really isn't an officer that really digs drive the pickup truck. And Chief Pope can tell you that's not a great vehicle for pursuits. It's a pickup truck. Not what you'd really want there. As we look at next year's budget, my plan is to take that pickup truck and move it over to fire, because fire would like a pickup truck, and bring in 2 new police cars. So we still would net 2 vehicles from the general fund. Both of those come into police, but then that pickup truck we would move over and replace, and I'll show you this same slide for fire department vehicles. We would move that vehicle over to fire. There's just a bigger need for that type of vehicle in fire than in police. We still have the old utility pickup truck that we use to pull the trailers and stuff around. Of course, we also have a utility department that has a ton of pickup trucks. So we are never hurting to have a pickup truck very far away. Those are our plans right now, unless you direct otherwise. The little bit of money that we lose by doing that is in the re-upfit of that truck. So we spent, I'm going to say, around $8,000 to $10,000 to upfit that truck with police lights. Well, fire can't use the same lights as police, so we'd have to switch those out. It would be about that $8,000 to $9,000. Is that the most recent number you gave me? Was in the
11.
I thought you told me 8. We'll work on that number. It'll be somewhere between 8 and 11. So that's our, and we're getting in better shape with these vehicles than we've been, but you can see kind of right in the middle of your side that Charger that's out of service. Out of service, it is not coming back. It's in the garage, but we're using it for parts.
It's a Dodge.
I know everybody's got a preference. I don't always know what way to walk on that.
Definition of Dodge.
What's that?
The definition of Dodge. To avoid.
Oh.
It's real simple.
So that one is not coming back. So it would be really good to be able to come in and take one of these older 2013 Tahoes and that Charger and replace them with new vehicles. We're getting pretty close to having good and new rolling stock. Any questions on that?
They're all over.
Moving on to fire. And the 2024 numbers are still reflecting what you adopted as the budget, not the new numbers where you will do second reading of the budget amendment. So that's still as if we were to get like $700,000 or $800,000 from the county. And, you know, we only got 550. So those numbers on the 2024 budgeted are still, they're showing high right now, not where we're ending up until we adopt, until you adopt this budget. And then fire 1% money. That's not anything you do other than adopt it as part of your budget. The firefighters get to choose what they do with that. Some stats on fire. You know, this time last year, we were talking about the the real money loss we had experienced with that fire service contract with the county, because the 285 had not changed in quite a while. So we were able to get that in. So that's your first block. The second block over on the bottom left shows your calls for service. I hope you'll pay attention to the note there that with that new fire contract, we're going to be required to respond to medical calls that we haven't been responding to before. And Chief Smith's estimate is that that's going to go up about an additional 800 calls a year. So that means that's another reason to make sure that our equipment's in good shape, that we have staffing, that we're providing the right, I guess the phrase that comes to mind, the modern equipment that the firefighters need to do their jobs. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of keeping pace with that.
How much more equipment are we going to need if we start back on medical? We did medical for a while, didn't we?
We done it for 6 months. And then that's when they cut staff, and so we quit doing it. Mm-hmm. And that was just in the city. And in those 6 months, just in the city, I recall it was like 140 calls. We have already bought or updated the medical equipment that we need to do this. So there shouldn't be any major reoccurring expense other than you may see an increase in fuel.
And in that budget amendment, Mayor, that you have in front of you, and I'll point this out when you have your council meeting, we put a little bit more money into medical equipment in this year's budget that Michael may not need next year. So,
Mike, are they okay as first responders, or do they need to go into EMT?
They're okay as first responders at this point. If you want EMT service, that's something council needs to decide on what level of service you all want. And then there's a lot of funding that will need to come to make
that happen. Well, that's what I was thinking. I didn't know if there was a requirement for any of having EMT on it or not.
Okay, good. Thank you.
We looked at that 6-7 years ago, didn't we? And it was going to be a lot of expense if we went to that.
Right now, yes, it was then. Right now, there's a caveat to it. Number one, I think it would be hard, or I don't want to say hard. I think it would be wrong of us to make people go take training that they didn't take this job to go do. Going forward, we could go that direction. Currently, the Fire Academy is offering the EMT class for free. That's about a $1,400 program. However, it's a 9-month program that we have to pay the people overtime to go to class and stay there. And then we also would have to check with our CD insurance to see if it's going to go up because we're providing the class.
So we talk about the equipment. We bought Chief Smith a new vehicle last year, or year before, not in 23 and 22. And the vehicle that we need to replace is the one that Jeff is driving, our fire marshal. Is it the Chevy? It's not the Tahoe. No, it's the 2012 Ford Expedition. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So that's the one that we would get rid of, and then we would bring in the truck from the police department. Some good-natured ribbing going on between Jeff and Caitlin on how many miles she's putting on that truck. He doesn't want her to put miles on it. She's saving miles on her vehicle by putting miles on the truck, so I leave that for them to duke out. So far, she's winning. So, solid waste. May not sound sexy, but it's one of our more sexy departments. It is meeting its need. We are charging what we need to recover the cost. Now, that is to your credit because you increased the fees back in 2022, and that was that orange highlight bar that you see there, because in 2021 we needed a subsidy from the general fund. A little over $86,000 to keep solid waste solvent. Then in 2022, you gave the 5% increase. We needed less, and then we were able, with that one raise, you saw how much we went down from 76 down to $11,000. And in 2023, there actually was a small surplus in solid waste. Now, we didn't have the debt service on the new garbage truck that we just bought, and your debt service schedule is in here. So I don't think we will realize another year of a surplus like that. But I also give Kevin Harbin and his staff credit. In Public Works, those guys, particularly in sanitation, they don't spend a nickel if they don't need to spend a nickel. I mean, if they figure out how to fix a whole lot of things, they do it themselves, and they do a really good job of managing those expenses. And getting that new truck was a game changer for them. So. Youth Rec, we got two of the best looking Overton children right here. This is still from last year. Connor's growing up quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Maggie still looks about the same. Is that about right?
Yep.
Little itty bitty. Yep.
Itty bitty.
And she's not playing soccer this year, is she?
She hadn't decided.
Connor's in full baseball mode. He's at practice right now, in case y'all are wondering. He's at her. So I struggled a little bit on putting the revenue sources down there, but when we get toward the end and start talking about what we're going to do with hospitality tax, I think it's important just to show you down at the bottom, that little box, how much we have been pulling in from hospitality tax to keep, to balance the budget in Youth Rec. Now, last year we needed less, which was good, and next year we will have less to give it. So, and we increased rec fees last year by $5. If you remember that.
Has Herb talked with you about pay increase for the referees?
Yes, I have the information that he gave me. We're ready to move on that. I mean, we can.
Is it doable?
Yeah. Well, you know, you keep in mind. You're dealing with her pool, so yeah. We aren't giving 50 cents if we only need to get, or we aren't giving a dollar if we only need to give 50 cents. So
right.
That's kind of how that's working out. But the numbers he gave me are, we could absorb in what we've got going on right now.
Now, you had the breakdown of the in-city and out-of-city for fire calls, police calls. Do you also have that for recreation for the
Let's
participants?
Let's see. So the next couple of slides.
There you go.
So this was last year. And when I talked to Herb today, you know, he is seeing a lot of, and I don't really see it in these numbers as much as he talks to me about it. He just does not have enough facility space to meet the needs, even with what you see. There's not enough baseball fields and enough time slots. There's certainly enough gym space. If you've ever been down on a weekday night, and you see how many different baskets, he's got every basketball goal in that place going. It's worth wearing a helmet to walk in there. You might get hit by a basketball. And then that time of year where they transition from basketball to volleyball is chaotic to understate it. So anyway, today he and I were talking. He's like, I can't wait till we get these whole road fields going. He said, I need the space to do the practice. And that is just with baseball and softball. That isn't even getting into the basketball and volleyball, where he probably could even have more teams if we had more space. So there's a lot of growth there. And this is this year's so far.
Is there any conversation between you and the county whatsoever about them upping what they supplement the cities to help cover the cost of the recreation for people outside?
I wouldn't even know who to begin to have that conversation with. And
well, it'd be Amanda, but I don't think they realize that.
Well, she knows from me that we serve about 85% of our participants are not city residents.
I was going to say, the difference in these numbers is pretty drastic.
Yeah, especially outside. Mm-hmm. I think you find the same thing in Wahala and Seneca.
You do.
Yeah, the fall baseballs on this one is kind of different from the previous years. A lot of your travel baseball players didn't even play in the fall. They played travel ball the whole time, whereas before they were staying in and playing both. But for some reason, the fall, they didn't. There's probably more than that.
Not a whole lot to talk about here, except we did, like I said, I don't know if you remember, we received the $25,000 grant from the Municipal Association, I think back at the beginning of 2022. We had to have it all spent by December last year, and we spent it all, which was good. We've not had any applications recently, but there are some buildings being worked on downtown that would have qualified if they had come in at the beginning. Dr. Campbell's one of them. He's adding on to his practice there.
He's adding on? Or is Keith Denny redoing that his building?
That is, now who's going to end up owning the building? I don't know. But the construction that you see is for Dr. Campbell. And I don't know if he bought that from Keith or if Keith is upfitting it for him. Okay. It's one of those. Do you know? But they're about to have the new roof on it, put new windows in, come along nicely. Hospitality tax fund and local accommodations tax. Really the story on hospitality tax is we had a rolling fund balance that we were gradually spending down. Well, we gradually spent it all. So there'll be no fund balance next year, which is gonna make for some interesting decisions on your part. I'll give you as many options as you want. But where you see that number in the hospitality fund in the 400 range, almost making it up to 500, we're gonna go back down to 200 next year because we will have used all the fund balance up. Local accommodations fund, same thing. We had a small fund balance that built up there in 23. We spent it, that's why you see that number of 47 pop in there. We used that to do two things. One was the City Hall analysis to determine how much it would cost to upfit City Hall and the police department. And then we also used some, I think, to get the, to do some of the preliminary work for the downtown streetscape grant. I think on that second one, we can always pull the numbers if you want. So both of these are going to go back. We've spent the fund balance of both of those now, which I think is good. What's the point in collecting if we're just going to have it sit in the bank and not use it where we had plenty of it? Just as a reminder, the amount that you've given out in community grants, what doesn't show on there are three things. One is Visit Oconee allocation, the Chamber of Commerce allocation, and I think both of those are $5,000 each. And the amount that we set aside this year for the Oconee History Museum. Remember last year we ended up giving them, or you ended up giving them a credit, and then we got them some other money, I can't remember how. That need is still gonna be there this year, and I expect that they will submit for an HTAX grant application.
These are expenses.
Yes.
These are allocations.
Boy, we're cranking through it. I might have time for a real break. Reminded you of the 5% utility franchise fee and what that dollar amount looks like. Again, we base this off of the kind of the net revenue. Whenever I do the calculation, I always take out the capital lease numbers because that's not actual revenue. We're just bringing that in to pay it right back out. So that's why you'll see a little bit of a different number, but it's in the footnote what we're doing there. I showed you this slide when we did the last budget workshop, calculating days cash on hand. This is something that I pull a little bit from the information that PMPA does, then from our audit. Everybody's going to calculate days cash on hand just a little bit differently. I'm a bit more conservative than when PMPA does it. And I think it's because I know where some of the numbers that are reserved for projects that are coming up where the PMPA staff cannot. But we're in good shape when you look at this slide and this slide. And these are benchmarked based off of the other PMPA cities, which probably isn't the best benchmark for us because you've got Gaffney, which is nothing like us in here. You've got Rock Hill, which is nothing like us. Abbeville is probably the one that comes closest, but when we get the data, it's all compiled, and I can't separate out which city is which, so we just get it as compiled data. But this was in your last presentation as well. Again, it shows that we're healthy on these metrics. You can see from 21 to 22, we got healthier again from 22 to 23. Kind of depends on the timing of some of our projects. We may go down next year on some of these metrics because we'll have spent down the last of that ARPA money that we've been putting aside. When we do our SCIP project, some of that money is hanging in these calculations. Debt service, you can see up at the top where we had one garbage truck roll off. We paid the last payment. What's that?
I said good. We paid for something.
And then we bought another one.
We
traded one group for the next. Again, I try and keep this within a certain range within each fund. So when we talk about two vehicles coming into the general fund, that's because I think that's the amount that we can best support. We do have needs in recreation where they have gotten the end of the line vehicles for many years. We've had some vehicles this past year that we didn't even want to give them. They needed to go out elsewhere. Soon we will need to start getting some of these rolled out of utilities into rec and then replace the utility ones again.
Does rec need that F-250 more than the fire department does, or would the fire department be fine with a cheaper vehicle?
Yeah, they don't need anything that size. I mean, just a light duty pickup truck would serve them well. I mean, they've got, I think, an old F-150 and a couple Rangers over there. And those work well. They're just getting a lot of miles on them. But I mean, they're all just like little local run around miles. Here's the notes to your debt service explaining everything that's on that is footnoted right there. For your reading pleasure when you can't sleep. That's always my go-to joke on budget matters. Okay, so here are questions for you to consider for today. Did you see anything that you'd like to change from one year to the next? You know, since I've been here, we've kind of got into a cycle and a pattern, and I will stay in that cycle and pattern until you tell me to do something else. It's kind of how I know how to do the rodeo. So if there's something that you want to change, not doing two vehicles for police, not changing that truck over to fire. The big question comes in, what do we do with hospitality tax? We can get to that in just a second. Second question, do you support a 5% franchise fee from the utility fund to the general fund? You guys have indicated, we have it in our policy, that you do support that. I'll probably be bringing you a budget that has that 5% franchise fee also coming from the solid waste fund, because we talked about how that is healthy. And if we go back to it real quick.
We had $167,000 left.
Well, that $167,000 we moved. Oh, you can't see my cursor. That $167,000 we will move from in this year's budget over, and that will take most of that surplus that rides in the solid waste out. However, a 5% franchise fee is going to be in the $40,000 to $50,000 range. So it's not in that $160,000. So you're taking 5% off of that 449, not 5% off of 8 million. So the value that you get is quite a bit less.
Right, but we're not going to have it if you take that 167 out. We won't have it to spare.
We're using that 167. That was a rolling fund balance.
Right.
In solid waste, we're using that this fiscal year.
Right.
We use that to balance it, so that'll be gone.
Mm-hmm.
We had a little bit of a surplus when we closed 2023, which is not a major amount. I think it was $45,000. I was going to leave that put and then just charge the solid waste that 5% franchise fee. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I got you now.
So the transfer to the general fund in this year is 167,576. That was a fund balance amount that we took out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were due a 5% franchise fee off of the 450, that's $23,000. So that 167 goes down to 23. So why that matters is because that's a big impact to the general fund. Last year we were able to do a millage reduction. Do you support us doing that again if we can? Just as a reminder, we were trying to reduce our millage to be more competitive really with Wahala. I think I've read that Wahala has looked at increasing their millage. If we bring ours down, they take theirs up, we'll eventually kind of meet in the middle.
Do you remember where they're at now?
They are in the 80s, I think.
The high 80s, I think.
And so we were in the low 90s.
Yeah.
If nothing else, my plan was we would reduce it one. We're going to be pretty strapped for cash to balance the general fund budget with all the things that we've got. To do another 3.5 mils, I think, would be challenging. But so that we could keep the trend going, we could very likely absorb that one.
And then if all the new homes come on next year, we could...
Then once we see what that value is, we might be able to pick up some more speed.
Right.
Do you support continued vehicle replacements for police and fire, capital lease purchase? Right now, my estimate for employee rate increases is a 2% COLA. I think that we talked about last time that there's going to be around a 12% increase in PIVA insurance. That eats into what we will have available to give employees in the form of a COLA. But that's the increase that we pay for employees' health insurance, not anything that they pay. They very likely won't see any difference in their coverage. That's all governed by the state on who has to pay which increase. Where the last 2 years we've had 5% COLAs, if we get 2%, I'm gonna work really hard to make sure we don't go below 2%. If there's some flexibility to go above that, I'll come back to you with something higher. But 2% right now is my goal. And then the sixth question there is, how do you want to allocate HTAX revenues? So if you look at that, this is a slide down in the bottom. This is how we used HTAX money last year. And you can kind of see everything listed out on the side. We're going to have about $200,000. If we look at, I don't really think we're going to go up to 210. Hospitality tax is leveled off. I think we can count on 200, but I don't think we can count on 225. So if you've only got $200,000 in hospitality tax to spend, you transfer $100 to the general fund and $100 direct, you're done. So everything else is not funded below that. And doing that means you're already reducing the amount that goes direct by $18,000. Special events committee had 8 for this year, Christmas decorations 25, downtown improvements, that was part of the grant match. 62. the Mefla Fields, we were still calling them Simpson Road last year. Hall Road Rec Complex, and then the local agency grants. So this would be a good place to maybe kind of start talking about that. I can tell you what, if this will help, I'll maybe throw this out, let you get started. The feedback I've got from most of you is you want to keep the local grants in place. If you kept the local grants in place at $40,000, what I would do is drop the transfer to the general fund by 20 and make it 80,000. I'd make 80,000 into the youth rec, and then you'd have the grants.
So what's that going to do to youth rec?
What's that?
What's that going to do to youth rec?
Well, it would be losing 40,000 in essence that you currently have. So right now you're at 117,950. So let's say 118. And if your transfer is only 80, then you're losing roughly $40,000 that we would have otherwise given to rec.
Is it possible to keep some of the local grants and not the 40,000 that we've spent the past 2-3 years that I've been on council haggling over?
Yeah, every year we've had these discussions, you have set the amount that we set aside for grants. So that number has always come from you. I'll go back to the slide.
Yeah. And
so
where,
you see, it's fluctuated a little bit.
Okay, so, and you mentioned on that slide, you mentioned allocations, three allocations. I'm assuming they also come out of H tax.
Yes.
Okay. So they would potentially come out of the grant portion of H tax, right?
One thing I'd like to bring up for discussion is Special Events Committee Christmas decorations, to where, as we're talking about this in our meeting tonight, right, that we won't be able to really buy a good tree last year, right, but that we say the events that the city sponsors and bring, you know, those two categories together to that and not call them Christmas decorations or the Special Events Committee, you know what I'm saying, and really lower that amount. I, you know, when I look at that, and I know our town, recreation is the heart of our town. Mm-hmm. It's the heart, heartbeat. And I think we need to do what we do well, you know? And so my heart, and I guess that's more emotion than head knowledge, but is that we do as much as we can for our recreation.
Well, my understanding of what you just said, you're not including any of those numbers in anyway, right? You're basically saying 100 for the general fund and 100 for the youth recreation would really be it with what we're going to have. Is that right?
Yes.
So you're not even including numbers below that.
If you do 100 for each of those, you don't have any money for community grants.
So we have none for the special events committee, none for decorations, all that's gone.
Correct.
And, you know, that opens the opportunity to ask for partnerships or sponsorships or something else for us to be able to do things in the city.
Yeah. Did you budget for a millage reduction?
This year.
Mm-hmm. What was the millage reduction we budgeted for?
We dropped it 3.5 mils. I apologize for...
Do you know what each millage is valued at?
Yes, right there. 7,118. So every mill we leverage or levy is worth that much. And if you look up and you see that the 2023 millage rate, 95.8 mils,
mm-hmm. I got you.
You're in essence multiplying that, those two numbers together, and that's what our annual tax receipts look like. So for instance, when I said we could drop our millage by one, we would only lose $7,100 out of the whole budget. Now, if we want to keep that in and not have a millage reduction, we could. And wait and see what next year's...
But you budgeted for 3.5?
Yes.
So we've got, what, 20-some-odd thousand budgeted?
As a reduction, yes. And you know, you're going to have on your agenda tonight a proposal to do some economic development incentives for the Sphinx gas station. So once that comes online, which could be in 2026, so if they take all of 2024 to construct the gas station, and then it probably doesn't hit at the end of 25, it probably hits at the end of 26. You see these numbers start to grow, but you got to get there.
Yeah.
So we're, Dave, you remember when we did the presentation in our planning meeting, so we're on the cusp. Being on the cusp means there isn't a whole lot standing in front of us. So some of that is just kind of standing there on faith, waiting on these things that it's well-informed faith. We know that these things are being done. We know they're coming on the tax rolls. We've just got to get there. Same thing could happen with this Highland Avenue project. If Jonathan Terry is able to come in and get these houses going, of course, y'all know, we just talked about all those that are going on, the three that Adam Smith are building. If he sells those, my guess is he's going to build some more. And if we can get those either built in the city with our current limits, or they build them just outside the city limits and we can annex them, we can grow that tax base. A lot of that is right there, but we hadn't lived into it yet.
But it's not this year.
It's not this year.
Adam Smith.
I'm going to zoom back to my last slide, if that's all right.
Yeah, he's a grading contractor.
Well, I was just wanting, if we allow for 3.5%, I was just trying to see if we
If we stayed even, we wouldn't reduce the $7,000. Upcoming.
So what happens if you don't transfer $100,000 to the general fund? What's that going to hurt you?
So the general fund mostly funds police and fire and rec. Actually, I don't know if it funds. I mean, it's catching half of my salary and half of your salaries, but for the most part, rec gets money also from the general fund.
Yeah.
So the amount that we transfer to rec is 117 here, but I think we also transferred 100 from the general fund. So in the end, the one that ends up getting hurt the most is always youth rec, because they're at the end of the transfer line. I'll show you this, if you don't mind.
What? Sorry.
I'm going to show you a slide that I think would help. Set that in there. In this one. Hope I don't make you dizzy. If I do, just close your eyes. See right there. So you see, from hospitality tax, we're transferring 100 into the general fund, and then general fund, we're then sending 119 to youth rec.
Yeah.
Now, you could say, why did we do that and just not increase it? Because everything that we transfer from hospitality tax to either fund has to be hospitality tax eligible. So we've always made sure that whatever the money was going to meets what state law requires you to do. So some of the activities in general fund are HTAX eligible, and some of youth rec is HTAX eligible, not everything. So when you start to look at this and you see who's at the end of the transfer line, it's youth rec. So that's what ends up getting hurt, either that or the general fund. And if you hurt the general fund, you're also hurting youth rec. Or you're hurting public safety.
So the options are take more out of the utility fund or cut fire or cut police to keep the money in the for youth recreation. That's basically the three options.
I don't know that I had really thought of the need to cut fire or police as part of the equation. Now, you certainly...
Well, I mean, that's only options, that or raise the utility fund.
Well, I mean, right here you have... I guess part of what I'm looking for is, do you want to keep the $40,000 or any of the community grants in play? Because if you do, then that everything else backs up after that. You've got to decide that first. And then from there, you can start deciding where the money goes. When we finished, and I didn't realize this until maybe last week when I was working on this PowerPoint, we finished Youth Rec last year with a little bit of a surplus. Now, I don't know that there's anything in Youth Rec where we actually have a surplus enough that we can pull out of the fund balance of Youth Rec to help balance the budget. But there may be.
Well, the 1 year we cut youth recreation, the 1 year since I've been here, I don't remember the exact numbers now. I think it was $17,000 that some of the council members decided we just had to cut it. We lost way more than that in revenue because we had to do away with girls volleyball. So what you cut out of youth rec, you end up losing double that, because you lose the revenue you would have gotten from it. So I don't know. There's not a good answer to that. I know if the county won't help, I mean, I don't know why we can't get the county to supplement that, because we're providing a service for county taxpayers and we're not charging enough to cover it.
Yeah, they give us, this year we're set to receive $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
So doesn't really cover what we spend on in that area. But again, I've not looked at that as a solution, just because with the current state of things, I don't think that's it. I mean, you know better than I do for sure.
Well, it's election year.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if we could pull. I've already talked to the other mayors about it. I don't know if we could get them to see it or not.
Well, you asked a question, and I mean, just looking at what looks like necessities, I don't think we can keep the grants. I think that's disposable income, to be honest, very honest. And, I mean, sitting in front of church budgets, we have to do the same thing. Where's the disposable income? Are you going to get new choir robes this year, or are you going to wait until somebody dies and you get a lot of memorials for it? And I see the local grants the same way. Just do it. I mean, it stinks, but...
Do you see the benefit of the $5,000 we give to the chamber?
I do.
Do you see the benefit we give to Visit Oconee?
Visit Oconee and the chamber promote everything that we have going. And I know they do, because I send it to them, and then I get their stuff. Visit Oconee is probably the best clearinghouse for everything going on in the county, and they do a lot of push of that information. So they don't just have it sitting on their website waiting on people to come. They push it out. And the chamber does the same thing. So in terms, we don't have a marketing budget. So in essence, those two entities become our marketing budget. We promote everything. We promote Apple, Bigfoot, the Westminster Music Center's concerts, any little thing that pops up. The Christmas events we have, everything goes to both of those entities. Visitor Oconee tracks it pretty tightly. They can give you metrics on their hits on every social media platform and their website based off what people are looking for. So you can ask Ken how many people went to their website looking for information on the Christmas parade.
Yeah.
And he can give you an actual number.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth what we pay those two.
Right. And then the museum. I don't see any way we could cut the museum. I mean, that's a historical entity in itself that we have to fund.
We, and again, I can't remember how we pieced that together this year. Rebecca, do you remember? We gave them a utility credit, and then we somewhere we found some money to...
Instead of giving them the money, you gave them the credit on their utility bill, and the utility fund just absorbed the... I don't remember how much that was. I won't say $4,000.
Because we had granted them, like, something. And then,
well, they were having to come and ask, and we were trying to get away from them having to come and ask every year.
And then I think you gave them the other half from, I want to say ATAX, but I'm not sure.
That's correct, yes. Because we had some money
left. You split it between the two funds, and the utility fund just absorbed. We just did a credit on their account, which gave them a roll of credit.
So then we've got Apple Festival, Bigfoot Festival, Music on Main. What are the other big ones?
The fair.
The Heritage Fair and the Rodeo.
Gateway Arts.
Gateway Arts.
Seems like there was another small one in there.
So how much total? You're saying we're going to have $200,000 to work with this year. And we've got...
I was looking at this afternoon... I looked at our receipts year to date on hospitality tax, and we budgeted $200,000 in actual new revenue for this year, and we're about right on target to get $200,000.
So we've got $200,000, we've got $100,000 for the general fund, $117,000 for youth rec, and $40,000 for the local agency grants. That's pretty much where we're at. We've got to figure out how to get $257,000 out of
$200,000.
Yes. Okay. That's a simple way to put it.
Yeah.
It's better than the way I put it. So we have some things that we haven't gotten creative with in the past. There is in the PMPA budget $1,000 for community sponsorships. So any community event that we ask for, PMPA will give $1,000 to sponsor, but PMPA's name goes on it, not ours. I don't think anybody really cares. With us, I mean, we always.
How many of those can we do a year?
One.
Just one?
Last year when I talked to Santee Cooper, they wanted to participate in sponsorship of a staged event at either Apple or Bigfoot. Now, I don't know how much they provide. My guess is it's somewhere between 5 and 10. Because they like to have their banner that says Santee Cooper up behind it. And the reason Santee Cooper would do that for us is because we have the bulk of our power comes from the nuclear plant at Catawba, but we also have power that we get from Santee Cooper. And so they are willing to do that. They sponsored, I think, one of the Jazz on the Alley events this past year, because Seneca buys their power from them. So as long as you've got some connection with them, there's the ability to get some amount of money. And I didn't tie it down last year because I didn't need to. So the other thing is, as you look at each of those events and you gauge what they do versus the receipts you have in hospitality tax, I mean, the hospitality comes in more abundantly in the spring and the fall, and that's because that's when our youth sports are going on. It's not really tied to, I wouldn't say I can find a positive correlation that H-Tax goes up with Bigfoot or Apple festivals.
Right.
Those months are about the same as any other month. And that's because people come and they might go to a restaurant, or they might be like Rebecca and they eat all the cotton candy and elephant ears they can eat.
I need to call you out.
Because that's what people want to eat when they go down there. They want to eat that food. And so it's
right. Yeah, I realize they don't really help the restaurants.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think they're great events.
I have a question. So the downtown improvements, you said that's part of the match for the grant, the grant?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what would happen if, yeah.
Well, that would go into the match of that grant for this year, but then there'll be none next year.
I got you, okay.
That's not a big deal, I don't think, because we can use other funds for that.
Why don't you start off with this and then go through the good stuff? Give us this at the end.
Well, it's only 5 o'clock. I can start from the beginning.
Okay.
Audrey Reese would love if I did that.
Audrey Reese will have to go do dinner or something. I'll have to have another pancake supper if you do that.
So why don't we start with the first question. Is there anything you saw today that you'd change?
Yeah, start with this.
Are you good with the 5% franchise fee from utilities still? Okay.
I don't think we have a choice there, do we?
Well, I mean, the thing is, you could always drop it to 4, you could up it to 6. My suggestion is you leave it at 5, and you do everything you can to balance the budget and leave it at 5, even if you got to cut something.
The years that we raised it, it took away from what they needed to work on the infrastructure. Sure. I mean, that's the big thing. It hurt us.
And we've got a lot of grants coming in that we're going to need the match for out of utilities. And that's all for utilities going into utilities. How about number 4? That's an easy one. Are you good with that?
I'm debating on it because I don't want to cut youth recreation. I don't. I mean, that's...
Well, the thing with the lease is whenever we do a capital lease, the first payment is not due for 1 year until after you close. So if we close on the lease, which we've typically done in September, October, then you have until the next fiscal year that you start paying that. So you get one more budget cycle down the road.
Does that benefit us? Because then you're going to be stuck with that payment next year, and we're still going to probably have another 200, maybe a little more next year in the HTACs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a kick the can down the road, mm-hmm. but it isn't kicking it far enough to be effective, if that makes a difference.
The thing we've got to hold on to is the additional property taxes we should get next year.
Yep.
Due to all the growth we're seeing now.
Yeah, I think if we get through this fiscal year, the one we're talking about, building this budget, it could be the tightest that we've had since I've been here, but I really have more an intuitive sense that next year when we're doing this, we've got more to work with.
I agree with that. We just got to get through this year.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, we saw the damage the cutting youth recreation budget did. And it just, I hate to be harping on that, but it just irks me that we're paying as much as we are and the county's not putting their part into it. That's the part that just eats me up.
Yeah, talking about heartburn.
Yeah, if they would just double it, problem solved.
No, they need to go up 200.
Yeah.
We looked at it that one year, and it was like $260,000 or $280,000 just for them to pay their part. What we did, took the total recreation budget and divided it by the number of participants, and then at that time, it seemed like it was 82 or 83% county. And that we added that number up, and that's what it was. It was huge.
If you take our budget that's in youth rec, so you take that $579,000 and you look at what's 80% of that. I'm not good with that kind of math. Yeah. So 464,000 of that goes to non-city participants. So very little of what we put in is actually serving city residents versus serving county residents. I just don't, we all see the same thing when it comes to Oconee County Council. I don't know that they're going to do anything.
Where did the big jump come from, the 120,000 or whatever from last year to this year?
You ain't going to show it.
454,579.
Well, 60 of that, if you look right there in the capital. Mm-hmm.
But it didn't jump from 22 and there was nothing. Yeah, I guess there was.
But then if you look up there on personal services, I think we took a part-time and converted it to a full-time. Because that's one of our other challenges. In particular, we bring Hall Road online. We've got to have more people to maintain. Got to have more kind of everything. Got to have more equipment. Got to have more chemicals. And what I can say about Youth Rec is, even when you see these numbers, and Adam, I'm sorry, this didn't occur to me when you asked the question, but 23 is audited and 24 is budgeted. Herb almost always brings his expenses in under budget. I say almost always. I'd probably bet everything I have, and I'd bet a monthly paycheck, he's never not brought that in under budget. So the difference between 23 and 24 could actually close lower than that, get done. Because he's under budget right now on expenses for where we are in the year.
Well, how about this? How about if we do cut him down to 100, or what do you say, 80? What you suggested? If we were to cut that, and then we start seeing a need for it by middle of the next year, would we have an opportunity to increase his budget if we need it? Do you think we'd have enough coming in from the property taxes or hospitality taxes, either one, that would help supplement it?
Well, you know, it's late in the fall that we actually get those market and assessed values from the county. It could. I mean, it's a bit of a dice roll. Because in essence, what you'd be doing is providing enough funding for her to get through fall, but not enough to get through spring.
Yeah. This budget's assuming new police chief and a full police staff all the way through.
We haven't built it yet. I mean, I'm in the process of building it.
But I mean, that's what you're basing this budget on here. It's all full.
Yes.
Being a chief in 9 or chief in 8?
Chief in 8. Total 9. Chief's in your 9. Chief is included in your 9.
Gotcha. Right now we're at a chief at
7.
Kaylin, Michael, what have y'all got y'all can contribute to youth recreation?
Oh.
Kaylin,
help
paint.
Well, as you
No, I mean, we just got back, the three people after they gave us the funding from the county to put us back to where we were in 2012, and we ain't caught up in 2012. So, money-wise, we're running about as bare minimum as we can get.
You don't have to have an answer today. You want one, but you don't have to, right? You got a few days to think on it.
Well, I mean, what I'm going to do is we're pulling all the we've already got all the department head requests in. We're kind of going through first scrub. We always have more expenditure requests than we have revenue. What I've not done yet, I've got a pretty good handle on what our expenditure requests are going to be, and they're going to just be slightly more than what you've seen this year. What I've not done is really looked at where the revenue, if there's any place for those revenue numbers to go up. But some of the challenges on the utility fund side, which has nothing to do with this discussion, for instance, if when the magistrate's office or the magistrate courtroom was built, it may not seem like a big deal, but we had quite a bump that year from business license revenue because all the contractors that went in there to help construct that came and got business license. So think about Sphinx having contractors. They'll have a bunch of contractors coming in to build that gas station. They'll get additional business license revenue. We have the ability to contract with a company to help us go after folks that do business in town that we don't currently get business license from. I've just been hesitant to pull that trigger because once you pull the trigger and you turn them loose, they're loose. You can't unpack it. Mm-hmm. And they go after, they start looking at everybody coming into town and doing any kind of business, and they go after them for a business license. And the way it works is when they find somebody that hasn't been paying you, they get 50% of it, you get 50% of it, and then the next year you get 100% of it. Mm-hmm. But they come in and they get it. We've not done some of what I call revenue enhancers like that. Just because we're a small community and I've not wanted to be that aggressive, but we certainly could. You're going to end up with people calling you if we do it, complaining. So there's one way y'all can contribute to the cause. Just take those complaints. I'm mostly joking. Miss May's looking at me like, don't do that to me.
You wouldn't want to hear what I'm going to tell them on that.
Well, you say they've already set us up for that. They got us business cards with no phone number. So they need this.
Reagan, you bought them business cards with no phone numbers?
I did.
They're coming.
Wait a minute.
I really didn't think that they would want their personal numbers out there, but I'm certainly open to reordering them if needed.
No,
that's such a waste of money.
If we wanted, we could buy it from a bag of
give it to a certain person.
They'll use 250 business cards.
So if you like them, just let me know. I thought y'all would want your personal numbers on there. We don't have city phones for you, so I was trying to help.
Thank you. We put Rebecca Overton's number on all of them.
And I changed it to Reagan's.
Well, we're going to start. We've already started. We're well underway of putting this budget together.
I would like to know what we think. A couple of us expressed. Would anybody else mind sharing what you're thinking?
I think it's about to get real, real tight.
The budget?
Yeah.
Yes, yep, yes. Very much.
What do you think? I mean, you've looked through these numbers way more than we have. I mean, once you go through your police and your fire, and I mean, is there any fat to squeeze out of any of that that we can put towards this?
No, you know, I brag about this to all my peers. There is no fat in Westminster's budget. It is a bone and muscle and ligament budget. There isn't any fat. There isn't anything. There isn't anything that just kind of sits to the side. We have budgeted in the utility fund some contingency money, which has been good because we've needed it. Last year it was more. This year it was less. You know, I don't know if I'm the best person to ask, Adam, because you guys are much better barometer for those community events than I am, because of the people that call you and talk to you. I would, if you said, Kevin, go do this the way you would do it, I would take that $200,000, I'd split it between general fund and youth rec and call it a day. It doesn't just hurt those local agencies not getting their grants, it also cuts into some of these other things that we've been doing. Because you see down here, Simpson Road, the Mephla Fields, and the Hall Road,
Right. Those
are things that go directly to youth rec already that we are not going to be funding.
But those things are long-term investments too. They're not a one-time deal. They're not.
Exactly.
We're putting those in, they're going to benefit the city from now on.
Exactly.
So that's the reason I've never had heartburn with that at all. But events are important to the community. So having events, I think, is necessary. It's just how much we fund them. That's what's going to be tough this year.
Well, like Christmas decorations is a good example. We have already started talking about ways we can decorate what we already have without buying new stuff. So that's more likely some trips to get some lights that get strung on trees and are on buildings and stuff like that to kind of create the holiday vibe that we want to see, but without making large purchases for big things. I think that tree was a wonderful purchase. I think it was very nice, and it'll pay for itself because what we were starting to pay for those real trees was getting rather expensive.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it comes to those other things, I think the staff is already ready to dig in and find alternative ways to keep things moving. We'll go after every little small grant we can get to help fund stuff that we need for rec.
All right, so how much of a millage reduction do you have included in this one?
I haven't started it yet.
So none is included in this? So no. if you do a millage reduction, you're going to lower that?
Yeah, if we did a millage reduction, all the problems we're talking about just kind of get added on to
it. Okay, that's what I was asking earlier. I thought you were saying you had 3.5% budgeted.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what we did for this year.
I got you.
Yep.
So that's why I was asking. We can cut that out. Oh. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah. If we have them, I'm sorry.
I think you done.
Yeah.
So if we don't have a millage reduction this year, those are the numbers we're looking at. If we do, it's going to make that worse. It's going to.
Yeah. So every mill you reduce, you lose roughly $7,100.
Right. So this is stating with no millage reduction. 2% COLA. I don't know how y'all feel, but I feel like we have to do that to save the economy. I mean, I don't see any way around that. Everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
5% franchise fee. If we take money out of that, it's going to hurt the utility department. So we are left with vehicle replacements and HTAX revenues to work with.
Well, the vehicle replacements really don't save you a whole lot of money, like I said, because you're always paying that 1 year behind.
Right.
So what we will pay in next year's budget, we've already been obligated to 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're left with HTAC, period.
That's it.
Yeah, this is where it all comes down to.
It does every year.
My worry is if we don't give the festivals any funding, then, I mean, do we lose them? What does that look like? And I don't want to do that. I mean, that's kind of a tradition we have, too. I mean, we can't lose out the festival. We can't.
Well, one thing, you know, there are Oconee County funds that they can ask for, and I think some have done but that before, so that is good.
A lot of those agencies have asked for a tax from the county and have received.
Yes, funds. So they're not completely.
But they do it every year.
Yeah.
So they're still going to take a loss.
Yes.
It's not like that's going to replace what we do. They're going to take a loss if we do it.
But just my trying to step back and what I think is that, again, taking care of our own recreation department first, and it's just a priority. And that, not that I don't love all of that goes to that to help support all of those things. It's just.
Well, I think you can get creative about what support versus funding looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, if we don't have the funding, we don't have the funding.
You send out information about when people are supposed to have their applications in and everything to your typical people, right?
We have not yet. We were waiting.
Now, but you typically do, right? Maybe take that list and invite them to a meeting. You know, we can have some council there. You basically say, this is where we're at, just where we're at. How does this affect you? What does this look like to you? What are your thoughts? Not that they'll, you know, they make the final decision, but you get an idea of what repercussions may be there, if any. But where you're into March, we'll be into April pretty soon with, you know, a lot of stuff going in fall, your bigger events, and planning's already been started for, you know, 3 months. So to hang them out until, you know, the budget's approved and the age tax stuff.
If we decide not to adopt this then, or to do it, then we definitely need to reach out and just let them know, hey,
it's not happening.
Well, we've lost Beef and Rib because they've shut down.
Yep.
Useless was shut down for months because of all their issues. So, I mean, we're just going to let the people with the festivals and events know that, you know, that we've lost hospitality tax due to those two businesses. I mean, they were big.
Debbie and I were just revisiting. Apple Festival had about a $10,000 surplus last year, and we gave them $10,000.
Did
they? And they gave it away. I'm not saying they misused it, but I'm just saying I don't think, to get to Adam's original question, you know, I can't speak to Bigfoot because I haven't looked at their application, or I know they didn't have a surplus, but I don't think we're going to lose Apple Festival if we just talk to people. I don't think we'll lose Bigfoot if we just talk to people and explain.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's what we need to let them know. You know, we've lost two restaurants, one for a full year and one for about half a year. I mean, they were cut way back. So that's hurt us on the hospitality tax. And maybe that'll incentivize them to do more for the local restaurants when they do have a festival, if they realize that's where their money's coming from.
Next month is when we have to decide this for sure.
Yeah, the end of April is when I'll present you with the budget.
So what if we cut? What if we cut the grants to $20,000 this year? If we cut that in half, 20 off the general fund, 17 off of youth recreation. Does that get you where you need to be? I'm not adding. I mean, how much would it have to take off of youth rec?
20.
So you take 20 off of each one? And that would get you where you need to be.
If you keep the agency grants at 40.
If we what?
If you keep agency at 40,
If we don't, what do you?
It's just.
No, I'm saying cut the agency grants down to 20.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. If we were to cut them to 20.
Then you would lose 10 to general fund and 10 to youth rec. But I mean, losing 10 to youth rec is you're already going to lose 18 off the top. So it's,
that's what I'm saying.
Plus,
yeah, that's 28.
Plus 10. Now, we were working, I mean, if you think back, I don't want to pull it back up again. We've been working that youth rec number down. So it was as high as 150. And so we've been bringing it back down. We increased youth rec fees this year and we have more data to go off of is the impact that has. So I can't really tell you what that impact is until we get a little bit further through. Herb's pretty close to. Has he closed registration out, Rebecca?
For spring? He has. There's been a few people to call and asked about it. He's told them they can register.
We can look at those numbers a little bit more.
Is that to still have the 20 in there to support the museum and the chamber? And
are those included in that? And that 40? Or are they separate?
Everything's included in the 40 except the museum.
Except for what?
The museum.
So the chamber and the...
Chamber and Visitor Coney are in the accommodations tax.
Right, so we're not
so we're
affecting
not
them.
So we're not worried about those three allocations.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. So the 20 would be what we have allowed for upcoming events instead of 40. And I remember the year we did it, we dropped it down to 28, and it was a hair pulling.
It'd be hard. Because
but there again, that money comes from hospitality tax, and we've lost a restaurant and a half.
Yeah, and we've lost. It's a tough year.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody's budget everywhere, so.
Talk to Herb and see if he could handle that big of a cut, see what he thinks it would do.
Oh, I don't put this on Herb. I do it.
No, but I don't. I want to know what 28's going
to
do to him.
He's on his knees crying, trying to figure it out. I'll take care of it. I mean, he gives me what he needs, and he doesn't pad anything that he gives me.
Oh,
so
I know.
If
I just
go
don't
back
want
to. Him,
I don't want to hit him up with a $28,000 loss and him have to cancel a.
Oh no! I'll take care. I don't worry. I asked him what he needed. He told me, and I'll make sure he gets 90%+ of what he needs.
It almost feels like it's just defeating the purpose, you know, because there's other things like the Simpson Road fields and things like that, and this is.
Well, those are already done. Those are last year's, right?
No, or this year's.
That's this year's. That's not the upcoming budget.
No.
Right.
Can I ask a question? You're talking about a fund balance, right? Is that ever going to come back?
Yeah, so a few minutes ago I mentioned that Youth Rec finished 23 with a little bit of a surplus.
Okay.
So I have not researched how did they finish the year before, how did they finish the year before that. And then I have to look at where that money ultimately settles in the checking accounts. Because somebody who pulls their hair out is Rebecca Overton, when she doesn't have sufficient cash flow. Because then she's got to move money from here to there to make payroll or to pay the bills. For the most part, because we're a utility city, we have sufficient cash flow for all the bills that come in and payroll that we've got to make each month. But then we have the amount that sits in the bank accounts from one year to the next because we brought in more money than we spent. What I've not done is analysis on Youth Rec to see, because it's not really had much of a surplus in the past years. Is there anything that you can tap into from that previous year that you can pull forward into the next year that could help this out? I think if there's any there, it helps absorb some of that loss that we're already gonna experience.
I think a Youth Rec surplus stays in Youth Rec. I don't think it goes anywhere else.
Right, but if you add that surplus into Youth Rec's budget, then you reduce how much you need to transfer into
it. Right. Okay.
Can we find that out before we have to decide?
I could do some analysis before we do the revenue review at your next council meeting. Help give you some more data.
Okay.
But I mean, we're hitting a tight year because we're growing. I mean, I think it's challenging for you, particularly as the decision makers on this. But from my view, from all the work we've done the last couple of years, we're having a tight year because we've been successful at what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
we hadn't have spent the money on Methla Fields, it'd still be in the bank. Mm-hmm. But right now, because we spent it, you've got a lot more field space, and we already talked about herd needed more field space. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're growing, and as a result of growing, I think if you go to any private business, you'll see that working capital, which is their cash flow, can get strained when you're going into a growth mode. I think that's where we're headed, into a growth mode. We just have to make, again, I say it's easy because you guys make the decisions. I always say, well, council made that decision. I didn't do it. So I usually tell them Ruth or Jimmy made the decision.
Ruth May with a capital M.
But I will.
Well, when Jimmy says do it, I vote for it.
I just made it up.
Oh, no, that's what I
said. We'll bring you some more data when we look at whether you can
make you important.
That may help inform your decisions.
M-A-Y, not M-A.
I mean, I think we're all okay with getting tight, but if there's any way to still put some money in those local grants, then that would be nice.
Yeah.
I think we have to do the local grants to a point, but I mean, it's just this year's going to be tighter. I realize that.
Well, and you know, the conversation with the grant recipients, we're growing, and because of that, we've got some cash flow that's down, so it may be lean next year. We're hoping, because we're growing, the next year we're getting back to where we were. Because I could be wrong, but just having looked at the numbers as much as I have, I think we've got a tight year ahead. And then after we get through that, I think the next year isn't going to be as constrained.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. But all the improvements we're making on utilities, we're cutting down our water loss, we're cutting down our electric loss, which means we're increasing the efficiency of what we're doing, we're maintaining more of the revenue, we're setting the stage to have more hospitality tax with new streetscape, the other things that we're doing in town, but we've got to get there.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. We have to be smart on the road, you know, and we have to endure some growing pains and make sure that those growing pains can heal and they don't become deep wounds that we just repeat year after year after year with something that is not necessarily a necessity.
So to the point Dale made a few minutes ago, where it becomes pretty important to know what you guys want to do with those grants is going to be after your next council meeting, because that's typically we've already put the applications out, and we look at those to come in for that end of April budget meeting for them to come in and do the presentation to you guys. We did not put that letter out because I held back knowing we had this discussion going. We can go ahead and send it out and tell the recipients, we're evaluating what's going on. Be ready when we ask you for your applications, and just kind of explain what's going on. But for them to have time to get ready to come and make a presentation, if you're going to have the grants, you've got to have all that stuff in place by the end of April, which is not a long time.
No, it's not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it gets tight. But if they want the money, they'll...
I just don't see...
We have jumped through hoops quickly when we've had to, so...
I just don't see how it's doable. If our priority is to not cut UTHREC, I don't see how the grants are doable.
Have you sufficiently agitated? You ready to take a break? Call it a day?
You best give a break.
I mean, you got about 20-ish minutes before your council meeting starts. I feel like we maybe have hit the saturation point. We've got audience coming in. You can come on in, Jessica.
Reagan, could you work for free for just 1 year?
Yes.
Do you need a motion to adjourn though?
Just one.
Yes, you do need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
He is working his way to get grants to pay for it.
I hate it.